At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Horns up and welcome to another episode of Headbangers Kitchen. We've got a great show for you today. We've got Aditya Mehta from the black metal band Solar Deity today, and we're going to be cooking up a snowless chicken Kiev for him. Now, if you're wondering why it's snowless, well, it's because they've got a song called Snowless. And if you're wondering what a chicken Kiev is, well, that's a delicious crumb-fried chicken breast that is stuffed with a garlic and parsley butter. And when you cut it open, it oozes all out. Now, this dish apparently has nothing to do with Russia or Ukraine and was apparently invented by a French chef in New York, or so I've been told. So I'm not going to dwell too much on the origins of this dish, but I'm going to show you how to make it and make it good. So we're going to start by making a delicious garlic and parsley flavored butter. And I'm going to be making this in a mortar and pestle. You can, however, do this in your mixer grinder, or you can even just chop everything very finely and put it together. But I'm choosing this method because I found this to be the best. So I'm going to take 3 or 4 cloves of garlic and put them in my mortar and pestle. And I'm going to start to pound this. And what this does is this releases the flavors of the garlic. And you want to crush the garlic really nicely. And to this, I'm going to add in some roughly chopped parsley. And again, I want to grind the parsley as well to bring out all the flavor of it. And grind it up till you've got a nice chunky mixture. You can see all the green color from the parsley is coming out. Now I'm using about 50 grams of butter, and this is regular butter, so I'm not going to season this any further. But if you're using unsalted butter, just make sure that you season this with some salt as well. And just mix this really well, mash it all in. Now that our butter mixture is ready, I'm just going to take it out on some cling film. And just roll it up. Roll that up. So here's our delicious garlic and parsley butter. And I'm just going to keep this in the fridge for about 15 minutes before I use it. So we're going to start preparing our chicken breasts for the chicken Kiev. And the thing I like to do first before anything is actually season the chicken. Because I tried the original recipes and I found it a bit bland. So I'm going to season the chicken breasts on both sides. I'm just going to use some salt. Some ground pepper, not your fresh pepper, but like a powdered pepper. And a little bit of paprika. Just going to flip these over and season the other side. A little bit of paprika, pepper, and salt. Now what you want to do is, if you see the chicken has this extra fillet here, this is apparently called the chicken supreme. So I'm going to just pull this off. And what we're going to do is we're going to beat this and flatten it out. So I've got some cling film here. Just going to place this down. And if you don't have a meat mallet at home, you can just use a heavy bottom saucepan. So here's the chicken supreme all smashed up, nice and thin. You don't want it too thick. This is sort of going to cover the breast. When we stuff it. Now, there are multiple ways of how to make a chicken Kiev. Some people do it long, some people do it round, some people do it like I'm about to do it now. And I tried all these methods and I found that Marco Pierre White's method, which I'm going to show you, is the best method to do this. There are lots of guys who just make a cut in the breast and stuff it with butter and then use toothpicks, but there's just no finesse in that. So what we're going to do now is sort of open up the breast. So you take the thick part of the breast and you just sort of cut through it. You know, so it open it out. And then you open out the other side. And what we're going to do is we're going to stuff this up. And you can also beat the chicken a little bit at this point. So if you want to get a little more spread on it. So I'm just going to take a little bit of cling film, put it on top. And of course, you've got the skin side of the breast down. And I'm just going to give this a little bit of a whack. Not too much, just slightly. There. That should be enough. Again, make sure you season the inside a little bit. There's nothing worse than a tasteless chicken Kiev. These are all good flavors. Paprika, salt, pepper. Now we're going to take some of that butter that I prepared earlier. And this was in the fridge for about 15 minutes. Just cut a nice chunk of that. And we're going to stuff it with that butter, the delicious butter. And you can be generous with that too. So what we're going to do now is wrap this butter up with the chicken. And then we take our supreme chicken. You open that up and use it to cover. Just make sure it sits in properly. You don't want the butter to leak out at all. Now, once we've done this, I'm just going to get a plate. Now, this chicken is going to go through three stages of crumbing. First, we dip it in flour. You want to make sure everything is locked in. Then in egg wash, which is just beaten egg. Then in breadcrumbs. And if you want a slightly thicker crust, you do a double dip. So you dip it in the egg wash again, and again in the breadcrumbs. And this will then go in the fridge for 15 minutes to just chill before we deep fry. So our chicken Kiev has been sitting in the fridge and it's now time to deep fry it. And be careful, it's a huge chicken breast. I'm going to throw in some sprigs of parsley. That's for some crispy parsley to go along with it. And you want to fry it for about 5 minutes on each side. So we're just going to let that fry till it's nice and golden brown and the chicken is fully cooked through. Make sure you turn it. And don't muck around with it too much. You don't want it to break and ooze all that butter in the fryer. Okay, this looks like it's about done. Just gonna put it on some paper towels. And that's your beautiful chicken Kiev, breaded and fried. Now what we're gonna do is we're gonna serve this with a nice salad with some of that deep fried parsley and just a little bit of lime. This is that deep fried parsley. You can hear that crunch. So there you have it. Our snowless chicken Kiev is ready. And we're going to wait for Aditya Mehta to come and taste this. So we're also going to fry that little round one that we made. So here it is. Both chicken Kievs are ready. And I'm going to keep one of them for Aditya Mehta. And I'm going to cut into the second one and show you how the butter oozes out. Oh, look at that. Beautiful. Look at that delicious white chicken and crispy batter. That is delicious. We're going to wait for Aditya Mehta and feed him the next chicken Kiev. Welcome back to Headbangers Kitchen. My guest today is a veteran of the Indian metal scene and one of the most controversial people on it. He has played with Demonic Resurrection, Exhumation, and more recently Solar Deity. He plays bass, guitar, and he does vocals. He's also an avid blogger where he reviews beers and Bollywood and of course, he's a Satanist for 14 years or more. Please welcome Aditya Mehta.
Hey man, great to be here.
How are you doing, Aditya?
Great, pretty good, man.
So the thing I got to ask you first is you've been a self-proclaimed Satanist for a long time now. So what exactly does Satanism mean to you and, you know, what kind of lured you to this dark path?
Oh, well, I was into bands like Deicide and Slayer. And that got me into a totally like, I hate God mode. Then I read the Satanic Bible and that totally changed the way I looked at it.
What made you want to be a Satanist or what?
No, you can't become a Satanist. You realize you are a Satanist. You are born a Satanist. And at some point you realize you're one. So I realized it at the age of 20 or 21. Okay. And when I read the Bible, I was like, fuck, this is me. This is what I am.
Okay. And, you know, a lot of people, especially in India, have this whole thing that, oh, you know, you're Hindu, good Hindu boys, and how can you be Antichrist or Satan?
So nobody's Antichrist, you know, man. There's nobody really.
So you have nothing against Christ?
No, nothing. I find religion, the idea of religion, funny.
Okay. So does that kind of mean that Satanism and being Antichrist are not one and the same?
No, it's two different things.
So how do you sort of define it for people who don't know what it is?
Satanism is more pro-life. So I'm here on this earth. I have to make the most of my life here on this planet. I don't believe in an afterlife or heaven or hell. But I have to enrich my life. I have to fucking have fun. I have to like make sure I can take care of myself and the world around me.
Okay, so you're not into the whole church burning thing?
No, I wouldn't mind doing that, but yeah.
Okay. So, a lot of people may not know this, but you've actually been part of the metal scene in India for about 14 years. And you were actually one of the founding members of Demonic Resurrection, the first lineup. So, what was that like? I mean, how did you, for people who don't know, how did you kind of, you know, join DR and what was that experience like for you as a musician?
Well, I was jamming with Prashant at that time, Prashant and Yash. And Prashant was in touch with you. So you asked Prashant to join DR, he got me in and we got Yash in, And that's how it was, man. That was a lot of fun because we got to play a lot of shows. That was, I've played the most shows with DR, more than Exhumation and Solar Deity put together. Wow. So, yeah.
Okay, and why, what, for, you know, generally for people to know, why did you leave or quit or end things with DR? What happened there?
I just wanted to do something else. And I couldn't understand back then, but I was like, you know, I need to do something else. And I had to like move out to like do that.
Okay. And, you know, you went on to form Exhumation. What's happening with Exhumation?
Exhumation is gone, man. So it's in the past.
So why has the band not made any official statement? Or is it just that you guys don't care enough to make a statement?
Yeah, I guess we don't care enough. Nobody wants to like... Like, we've hardly played any shows, man. Like, the last thing we played was last year, Deathfest.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to, like, come on and say, oh, we're not playing. And people are going to be like, fuck, who cares? We didn't even know you guys were around, so... Yeah.
But is there any animosity between you and any of the band members?
Nah, I don't think so. We don't even talk anymore, so... Okay. I'm in touch with Yash, though.
Yash, yes.
That's... Yash and I drink together all the time, so...
But Yash was no longer part of Exhumation. He is replaced by Viru.
He's also not on Solar Deity anymore. But we are still friends.
All right. With Exhumation, there was a lot of talk about the last album, Consider This, and that you were not particularly happy with it or something like that. But what is the true story there and how do you feel about that album in retrospect?
I think the music is really good. The production is fucking horrible. Before the final mix, it was sounding really good. It was sounding like fucking Bob death metal. And then I don't know what happened. I had my vocals and then I went to go off for like a week or so to chill, and by the time I came back, the album was already out. I mean, and when I heard, I was like, what the fuck, you know, it sounds like a fucking deathcore album. But there was nothing that could be done about that at that point.
And is there any truth to the rumor that you weren't allowed to sing all the lyrics you had written?
Oh, this one line. Like, somebody in the band had a problem with one line. It was In the Name of Satan, which is the name of the first
Solar Deity.
Yeah.
Okay. So you obviously, you know, with the demise of Exhumation, went on to form Solar Deity.
Oh, I formed it before.
Yeah, you formed it before, but it was kind of towards the end of Exhumation.
Yeah. Just realized like nothing was happening with Exhumation and I was really fried with the whole thing. I'm like, fuck this, let me just fucking play some black metal and I have like a bunch of songs and stuff. So
yeah, so that was quite a contrast from, you know, like brutal death to black metal, you know. How easy or hard was it to make that change for you musically?
No, at all. It's still extreme music. And I will listen to both. Since the time I was in DR, it was always death metal, black metal, some doom. So this is what I want. I always wanted to form a black metal band. And when Exu just kind of like started like fading away, I didn't know what to do. And I was just frustrated. And I was like, fuck, one day Yash and I were drinking together. And he was like, fuck, you better do something about this. So I was like, fuck, let me just start the band. So I went and I recorded some stuff.
And that was it?
Yeah.
Alright, and I believe you fired all your band members from Solar Deity. What's the story
not
there?
Not fired, but I've just called it off as a live band. Because it wasn't making sense anymore. Like, I had to struggle to get shows, and then fucking jam every Sunday morning, blah blah, all that shit, and then deal with people who don't get black metal. So I thought best to just not play live. I think it's best to like just keep it as a studio project. But I think I will play live at some point. If we get a good show, if we get a show, I think I will get a bunch of people and we'll play live.
So this is not the end of Aditya Mehta as a live musician?
No, of course not.
Alright. And one of the things you've been very vocal about in your blog particularly and even in the past has been about the sale of music. And you've gone to the extent of calling people beggars and stuff like that. But you yourself have eventually bowed into the pressures and sold music with, you know, Exhumation as well as Solar Deity.
With Exhumation and Solar Deity, we have always given music out for free. The CDs are for people who want to buy CDs. The people are for people who want to own CDs. And they are for people who say that, oh, we want a physical copy of the stuff. So they don't have to buy anything. I tell them to not buy stuff. I tell them fucking spend your money on pizza or beer or whatever. Just fucking download the music. So that's what I do.
So you are of the opinion that music should be free? Or what is your take on that?
I download music. I haven't bought a CD in years. So I don't think it's right to sell my music to people.
Okay, and what about the whole new wave of digital download where you can legally buy music? Do you believe in that, or is that just?
I'd still give my music away, man.
Of course, no.
If
but
somebody wants to listen to it, they should just be able to download and listen to it, man. That's what I do. I download movies, I download music, I download like ebooks. I don't pay for all that stuff, so.
Okay, so.
I think people should spend money on what they can't download, like clothes, petrol, you know.
But don't you feel, as an artist, at least for those who are serious, it kind of affects the way they live? I mean, a lot of your favorite bands.
Yeah, it does. See, what happened to Metallica is they made a lot of money. And when you make a lot of money, you get a bungalow, you get a swimming pool, you have cars. And then when you're sitting in the pool and you're smoking your cigar and having a drink, you cannot play thrash metal anymore. You're not pissed off anymore. You can't make thrash.
But what about, the younger artists who are writing good music that you might like and, you know, who would not probably even have those songs for you to listen to if they didn't sell or make money through
they
music?
They can still get a job and keep making music.
So, I think that's kind of clear. So, you believe that they should all get jobs then?
No, I mean, if your father has a lot of money, you don't have to get a job also. But yeah. I have to work. So, I don't mind doing that. I like working. And the thing is, the way I see it, if I start depending on my music for income, then at some point it will change. Then I will try to make it saleable at some point.
Okay.
If it's bringing the money in, I will want to sell as much as possible. And to make it sell as much as possible, I will try to make it that way. It'll be commercial music then. So might as well just start doing Bollywood or pop music or.
So you don't believe artists can maintain an integrity if they're selling music and doing that full time?
I don't think so.
What about, well, like say a lot of your black metal bands that you may listen to, or death metal bands like Deicide and Cannibal Corpse, who till today are, you know, putting out great albums, but they depend on album sales to sort of make that happen, because that's how they're able to do music full time.
So I make sure the integrity remains intact by downloading their stuff.
Alright, so Aditya has given his verdict on that. So let's talk a little bit more about Solar Deity, since that's your main project now.
Yeah.
You know, you released 3 EPs and a single in a span of like 2 years.
Yeah.
So, what's the thought process behind that, and why not release either a full length or maybe give, you know, fans the time to digest what you're putting out there?
I don't think I can make a full length, because I have certain things to write about. There are these concepts. I don't think I can stretch them to like 7 or 8 songs. You know, it'll just sound diluted. So with 3 songs or 4 songs or 5 songs, I can still make it sound fucking intense. I'd rather it be that way.
Okay. And with Solar Deity, you also sort of started, you know, wearing a costume or a more different stage attire.
Yeah.
So was that a conscious decision? And, you know, do you feel it's something Indian bands don't put enough effort into?
Oh, our manager suggested that. He was like, you guys can't go up looking like that, because you can't go up in jeans, you're a black metal band. So you either wear like leather or do something different, and that's when he thought of robes.
And you also drink from a pot during the shows. Is there any, again, you know, concept behind that or any?
Yeah, well, just if I drink from a fucking plastic bottle, it'll just look funny, right? So it's water.
Okay.
So.
Alright, and do you ever get drunk before shows?
No, not anymore.
Not anymore.
I used to do that with Exhumation a lot.
Okay. So in Solar Deity, in your, I think your second EP, you sang in Gujarati.
Yeah.
Again, what prompted you to do that?
There's some things I want to say which I couldn't say in English or any other language. And I was hoping nobody'd find out.
And they did.
Yeah, they did.
So, but do you feel that you may want to sing more in your regional language?
No, it's done.
That's yeah, we'll never hear it again.
Yeah.
And you also did clean vocals on that.
So I realize that now. Like, if there was a thrash metal band and they did a song in Marathi, I'd just be like, what the fuck are they doing? You know. So I'm not going to do that again, though.
Okay, so that was a one-off.
Yeah.
Alright. So Aditya, you are definitely one of the most controversial people on the Indian scene today. I mean, how does it feel You know, when people say things like, I mean, you are the most controversial person, do you thrive on controversy? Is it something you actually try and, you know, create?
I don't thrive on it. It doesn't even bother me. I think somebody has to say all these things, which is why I don't see anybody else doing it.
So you're not afraid to speak out, basically. Okay, so speaking of some of the controversies you've created, one of the first ones was your views on metalcore music. You know, what do you think about the genre of music and you know?
I don't think anything of it, man. It's like any other form of music. It's like rap. I don't have anything against rap or hip-hop. It's just fucking there. It's fine. If people like it, they can listen to it. My problem is with metalcore bands calling themselves thrash or thrash death or, you know, that kind of stuff. Because I like thrash. I mean, I fucking love thrash metal. I love death metal. So when I listen to that stuff and they're like, oh, we're thrash, I'm like, fuck, you're not thrash, man. What the fuck?
But you've had problems in the past with metalcore bands, and you made a statement at Deathfest when Exhumation played also. I think you dedicated a song or something to the metalcore pussies, if I'm not recall, something to those that extent.
Yeah, I was just having fun then.
Right, and you even actually had a spat, an online spat with some people who came to the Solar Deity show and started doing Bhangra in the pit.
Oh, that was the manager of Devoid, right? Yeah.
So what happened there?
He was making fun of the band. He was like, oh, black metal something something. I don't know. I just found it funny because like he manages a band which calls itself thrash, and he doesn't know thrash from metalcore, and he's making fun of some other genre. So I found it funny. So
okay. And you also had a huge thing go on your blog with the whole Bangalore Doom Syndicate and Vikram Bhatt.
Oh, those guys are fucking clowns, man. Fuck. Those guys. The whole fucking scene is so fucking dumb.
So what happened there? I mean, what was the exact
thing? I mean, no, this guy just has a problem. This guy, Vikram, I know what his deal is. I was okay with him. They called us to play a fucking show there. We went there and everything was like damn cool. And they were really good to us. I don't know what happened to him. It's like you need to fucking praise his band all the fucking time or he gets pissed off. I don't know what his deal is. He started fucking dicking around for no reason. I hadn't said anything to him. I was sharing some of my posts on Facebook and he started his shit. Something he said. So I don't know why. He's got this habit of fucking intimidating people and then taking them under his wing. You know, he's trying to be a fucking mentor to everyone. He obviously didn't know why. I wasn't going to take any of that shit. So I had to give it back to him. So, yeah. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with Bangalore, man. Like,
what do you think about the Doom Syndicate?
I don't know what the fuck they smoke, man. What the fuck? Doom. The Doom Syndicate.
Yeah.
Fuck, what is Doom in... There's no fucking Doom in there. There's Bevasi. That's a Doom Stoner, Doom band or whatever. Dying Embrace is not Doom. It's not even Death. So if it's not doom metal and it's not death metal, I don't know what they are. It's just fucking light music. Is there anything called light metal?
No, but you can always start, I guess.
Yeah, so...
And there was this whole thing of burning their t-shirt on and posting pictures. So do you feel your blog is like kind of an outlet to just fuck everyone if, you know, when people don't
have... if people want to do that, it's fine. They need a place to do that, right? So I don't see the other websites doing anything apart from fucking sharing updates and blah blah this that, copy pasting stuff from here and there. Somebody has to do all these things.
So since we are a food show, let's talk a little bit about food. I mean, what kind of food do you like to eat?
I like everything except boiled eggs. I like spicy food a lot. No. I don't like sweet stuff at all.
And you know, if you had to like pick a dish that you would call your favorite or your comfort food that you could eat anytime.
There isn't one, man. I love food, dude. It just has to be fucking tikka. The thing is, even if I eat a vada pav, I don't eat it for the vada pav. I eat it so I can eat like 6-8 chilies along with it.
Okay, so in that case, I should give you a huge helping of hot sauce with your Snowless Chicken Kiev.
Is that what the dish is called?
Yeah, so it's a Snowless Chicken Kiev. It's a delicious chicken breast stuffed with butter and herbs. And
why garlic. Not raise the pork?
Well...
Why not supreme veg?
Because
why not blasphemous chanting on a beefless night?
Because that's all veg.
Oh yeah, okay.
A beefless night is veg.
Raise the pork.
Yeah, well, we did do something with bacon for the promo of the episode, which you will get to see.
Okay.
But I won't spoil the surprise for you.
Okay, great.
Nice, nice. What does the future hold for Solar Deity?
We're gonna make a few more EPs. Play a few shows, if we get any. That's it. I'm gonna disappear from the scene in a while, man. I'm not gonna like be around forever. Make it. Like I've done what I had to do. Once I'm done doing it, I'll just fuck off. I'll do something else, man.
Alright. So speaking of short stories, you've actually written a collection of them on your website. And are we going to see more of, you know, Aditya Mehta, the writer now?
Yeah, for sure. I had to complete my first set of stories. Once I'm done with that, I'll write another book. Then maybe like a full-on novel and stuff.
Let's get your opinion on some of the local bands, you know. So what's your opinion on, say, Albatross?
Albatross are pretty cool, man. I wasn't into that style when I started listening to the band, but it's a band that kind of grows on you. I've been attending a few shows and they've been playing a lot of shows. And the more I listen to the stuff, the more I like it. So it's pretty good, man. The whole band. The whole band is really fucking good.
And what about Gutslit?
Gutslit are a good live band. I heard their album and I thought it was pretty average, man.
Okay. What about Scribe?
I haven't really listened to a lot of Scribe. From what I know, they're like a band that sings about Pav Bhaji. And they're trying to start some all-girl mosh or something.
Yeah.
That's what I know about them.
Okay. And what about, say, Undying Ink?
Undying is pretty good, man. I've seen them once. This is when they played at Blue Frog.
Yeah.
They're pretty good, man. Fucking tight, man.
What about Devoid?
Devoid is not bad at all. The only problem is they don't sound like thrash to me.
What about Providence?
Providence is pretty good, man. Yeah, not bad at all.
Crypto.
See, the thing is, they don't call themselves thrash.
Yeah.
They're metalcore and they know it. And the thing is, they put on a good live show, so yeah.
What about Kryptos?
Kryptos is fucking boring as fuck, man.
Yeah.
Like, I saw them, like, this is when they play in Bombay. This is, you know, at Deathfest or something, they played, and they just went on playing the same fucking riff. It went on for like 15 minutes and I was like, okay. And people got bored of headbanging and they're like, okay, they're looking at each other like, okay, is it going to change now? So, yeah.
What about Scepter?
Scepter, man. Man, they should have remained thrash. And should have redone that. And they should have put out that one solid fucking thrash album. That's what they should have done. Instead, they came out with this really fucking limp-wristed fucking metalcore, man. Just, when I heard it, I was like, what the fuck, man. I was a big fan of the band. I was a really big fan. And fuck, I was just really disappointed when they did this.
So what are some of the Indian bands that you actually like and enjoy on, you know, probably listening to or watching live for that matter? Like, who would you rate as your top three Indian metal bands?
As far as live performances go, I love Blasphemy from Chennai.
Yeah.
They were fucking awesome. I love Gruesome Malady. Gruesome Malady is Vikram and Jimmy, the guys from that shitty band Dying Embrace. But Gruesome Malady, that album they made was so fucking good. I don't know if it was a fluke or I don't know what it was, but it was a fucking that album is a fucking masterpiece. It's fucking go grind, man. It's fucking sick. So that's definitely up there. I think that's my favorite album.
So you've been, 14 years, man. You've been, playing and recording and writing music. How has the journey been? And you know, what's it been like to continue making music? Has it been?
I'm actually really happy right now, where I am right now, because here's when I get to like do the stuff I really want to do. In Exhumation, like that, there were some things I couldn't do, some things I couldn't say. In Solar Deity, I'm the only one making the music. So I can actually sit and like come up with the songs that, you know, I have the theme to let the songs build in my head and let them come out the way they have to.
Do you have any funny stories from your Solar Deity or Exhumation or even DR jamming days or gig days?
Plenty of funny stories, man. I can't think of anyone right now. I think the funniest thing is, I always was, in DR, I wasn't, you were the guy, you know, and you were the boss. in exhumation, I wasn't like being a strict guy. There was somebody else doing that. And I always thought, you know, I'll never be like, I don't want to like shout at people. I don't want to be. And I've become exactly that person now. Like, I'm the guy who tells people, like, fuck off. It has to be black metal or nothing. Like, fuck off. Like, and I've been firing people and stuff. I think that's funny in some way.
So what is black metal to you? If you had to put it in words.
How do I explain this, man? Fuck. It's music for the soul. Death metal is always like more like, you know, the black metal is music for the soul. It just touches my spirit in some way.
Very interesting.
I can't think of anything beyond black metal. Like, there's nothing else beyond that.
So that's it for you. This is the end of the musical spectrum.
Yeah. Like, I will do other stuff, of course, but then I don't think it can go like beyond black metal. It can't go deeper than that.
Do you have any other musical projects in the pipeline?
Yeah, there's Angry Dwarf, which is, I don't know what it's going to be. It's grungy, hard rock, mixed with some other stuff. And there's Heretic Magus, which is doom. It's dead doom, not like Dying Embrace. It's actual dead doom. So, yeah.
Awesome. So we've got a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, yeah. There's going to be a lot of music coming from me.
Great, man. Thanks for being on the show. Are you ready to taste the snowless chicken Kiev?
Fuck yeah.
Awesome.
Why not through the holidays of Namak?
Okay, I didn't want you to die of a sodium overdose. So on that note, let's get that snowless chicken Kiev. Aditya, so here is the snowless chicken Kiev. That is a chicken breast stuffed with garlic and parsley butter.
Okay.
Crumb fried. And just a salad to go with it. So, dig in. So, you're supposed to cut it in the center. Like, bang in the center and the butter is supposed to ooze out.
Okay.
So, if you...
Oh, fuck yeah, it is.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. And just soak up all the butter when you're eating it. So, that you get the proper taste of everything.
Hmm. So is this fried or baked?
Fried.
Okay.
So what's the verdict?
I really like the way the garlic comes through. And the butter, yeah?
Yeah, you can't go wrong with garlic and butter, I think.
I think any Gujju will love this. Because for most Gujjus, like, this is the only thing they can eat. I mean, fuck, this is awesome, dude. Fuck. I don't think I can finish all of it.
No, eat as much as you like, man. Are you on a new diet or something?
Yeah, but it's gone now.
But you do like it?
Yeah, seriously, I did. Hey, fuck, this is awesome, man. Like, I really like being here. This is fucking good. I'm going to eat some more of this now.
Do you have any message for your fans or anyone watching?
What message do I give, man, to people?
I don't know. What do you want people to...
Download everything. The Dying Embrace discography. Just fucking download it and then delete it. What's up, Vikram?
So there you have it. Aditya Mehta has given the thumbs up to the snowless chicken Kiev. And we'll see you on the next episode of Headbanger's Kitchen. So what is black metal to you? If you had to put it in words.
Satan.
Satan. That's black man.
Freedom.
Freedom.
I didn't do it well, right?
Oh, you're trying to be God.
Yeah, fuck.
No, that didn't quite work out.
Fuck. Okay, no.
Ooh. Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.